Read with me, please, in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Verse 11. There's something very notable in the way Paul addresses these who are brothers in Christ, who are saints of God, citizens of heaven, O ye Corinthians. Our mouth is open unto you. Our heart is enlarged. Ye are not straitened in us, but ye are straitened in your own bowels. For a recompense in the same, I speak as unto my children, be ye also enlarged. Let me read that to you, please, in another translation. We have spoken freely to you, Corinthians. Our heart is wide open. You are not restricted by us, but you are restricted in your own affections. In return, I speak as to children, widen your hearts. Also, verse 14, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. And I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Back to the Old Testament in Judges chapter 13. Verse 2. And there was a certain man of Zorah, of the family of the Danites, whose name was Manoah. And his wife was barren and bare not, and the angel of the Lord appeared unto the woman and said unto her, behold, now thou art barren and bearest not, but thou shalt conceive and bear a son. Now therefore beware, I pray thee, and drink not wine nor strong drink, and eat not any unclean thing, for lo, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come on his head, for the child shall be a Nazarite unto God from the womb. And he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. Chapter 16. And we will read at verse 6. And Delilah said to Samson, tell me, I pray thee, wherein thy great strength lieth, and wherewith thou mightest be bound to afflict thee. And Samson said unto her, if they bind me with 7 green withs that were never dried, then shall I be weak and be as another man. I'm trying to figure out what tone he used in saying that. I think it was pretty light. Move down to verse 10. And Delilah said unto Samson, behold, thou hast mocked me and told me lies. Imagine her telling him that he had told her lies. Now tell me, I pray thee, wherewith thou mightest be bound. And he said unto her, if they bind me fast with new ropes that never were occupied, then shall I be weak and be as another man. Verse 15. And she said unto him, how canst thou say, I love thee, when thine heart is not with me? I wonder, how did she dare to say something like that? Was her heart with him? Thou hast mocked me these three times, and hast not told me wherein thy great strength lieth. And it came to pass, when she pressed him daily with her words and urged him, that his soul was vexed unto death, that he told her all his heart, and said unto her, there hath not come a razor upon mine head. For I have been a Nazarite unto God from my mother's womb. If I be shaven, then my strength will go from me, and I will become weak and be like any other man. And when Delilah saw that he had told her all his heart, she sent and called for the lords of the Philistines, saying, come up this once, for he hath showed me all his heart. Verse 20, and she said, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he awoke out of his sleep and said, I will go out as at other times before and shake myself. But he wist not, did not know that the Lord was departed from him. But the Philistines took him and put out his eyes and brought him down to Gaza and bound him with fetters of brass, and he did grind in the prison house. Howbeit, the hair of his head began to grow again after he was shaven. Verse 28. He's now in the building with the rest of the Philistines. And Samson called unto the Lord and said, O Lord God, remember, I pray thee, and strengthen me, I pray thee, only this once, O God, that I may be at once avenged of the Philistines for my two eyes. And Samson took hold of the two middle pillars upon which the house stood, and on which it was broken, borne up, and of the one with his right hand, and of the other with his left. And Samson said, let me die with the Philistines. And he bowed himself with all his might, and the house fell upon the lords and upon all the people that were therein. So the dead which he slew at his death were more than they which he slew in his life. We have read from the New Testament and the Old Testament for at least two reasons. I want to assure our hearts today that the truth that's before me is a changeless truth in Old Testament and New Testament times. Second, I want to have us hear the sound of the precepts in the New Testament and see the sight of a man, a picture in the Old Testament. Bring the two together on this most vital subject of separation. There are four things that I want to say to you about separation. May God help me to be clear, compelling, and sound. First, separation determines the destiny of a man and his people. There is an inseparable link between Samson and his nation. You see, this people, this nation, in this land of promise, came into that land as a mighty people. Not might that they possessed innately, inherently, but they were a mighty people. And the book of Joshua tells us of the might of God through those people that brought them into that land. And the book of Judges begins by telling us that there arose a people that knew not Joshua, neither the works that the Lord had done in the days of Joshua. So you know what happens to those people? It's a mighty nation. But they came into the land of promise, and instead of routing out from that land all the enemies of God, they learned to tolerate them. A little difficult to get the people up there in the mountains, and a little difficult to get the people over here, so they tolerated them. And it wasn't too hard to go from that step to the next step, and they began association with them. And their sons and their daughters got together and It went along just fine. Toleration, association, imitation. It is an inseparable chain. And now what about that mighty people who have lost their separation to God? They're just like any other nation. And so if that nation wants to come in, right through the land, not a problem. And they're grieving with all their slavery, and they cry to God. God sends a prophet. Restore to God. To be holy for God. And they're delivered. Until they went through it again. And again. And again. And the last of the judges that is raised up. Is this in the book of Judges? There are at least two more. But in the book of Judges, the last judge is Samson. And he epitomizes the nation. One day you'll read about this same nation, and she's pictured as the sun. Samson's name, the sun. Samson was to be a mighty man, not through his own strength, but through strength that was given to him by God. Samson was to be a man that was separate to God, unto the Lord. Samson was a man who could just very easily skirt the edge of the cliff, hang his feet over the edge of the cliff, squirm out a little bit on the cliff, until he was just as any other man. Down over the cliff he's gone. His eyes are gone. His strength is gone. What he could have been for God is gone. The might that could have been directed to preserve what was precious to God, gone. Because separation determines the destiny of a man and of his people. And 2 Corinthians chapter 6 is addressed to Corinthians. It's not how Paul starts his letters to them, but the tragedy is that's their character. And with all the problems that were within Corinth, Paul in chapter 10 of the first epistle reminds them, there must be personal separation from all that is contrary to the character of God. You can't be going down there in association with the idol's temple. And then come back and profess that you are holy for the Lord in the assembly. Personal testimony, personal separation is inseparable from assembly congregational separation unto the Lord. And so, when you look at the example, the quotation that Paul gives in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, once again, the individual and the corporate are linked together. It's a quotation coming from the Old Testament and reminding them that God's interest is come out from among them and be ye separate. That they would be my people. And I will be a father unto you. And ye shall be my individual sons and daughters, saith the Lord. Personal separation cannot be separated from corporate separation unto the Lord. Point number one. Separation determines the destiny of a man and his people. Secondly, separation is clearly defined. Now, I know you're going to say, David, 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 you have lost it. What fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? What communion hath light with darkness? What concord? Christ? Belial. What part? Believer? Unbeliever. What agreement? Temple of God? Idols. So just for the moment, I think Paul and I are together on this. There's not much gray area between light and darkness. There's not much gray area between righteousness and unrighteousness. There's not much gray area between Christ and Belial, believers and unbelievers, temple of God and idols. There are moral principles that must be maintained, righteousness and unrighteousness. There are ethical issues that are involved, light, darkness. There are personal issues, relational, my relationship to Christ, Belial. There are social issues, believers, unbelievers. There are, for want of a better word, ecclesiastical issues. Because I think the temple of God there is not individual temples in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. It's the corporate temple of 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And what agreement is there between an assembly which is God's dwelling place and idols? There is this great issue of a yoke, which I think helps us to clearly get a hold of these truths. Because when you put two animals in a yoke, the way that one of them goes is going to, in many ways, determine the way the other one's going. If this one goes this way, the other one does not go that way. A yoke is where control has been yielded. See, that's the great thing about the Lord Jesus. You say he was a friend of publicans and sinners. And of course, the Pharisees didn't like that. The Lord Jesus never went into a situation where he was not in control. Now, you may say that's pretty simple because the Lord Jesus had control of everything. But I think he was a model man. When we find ourselves in a situation where the control of the outcome is in the hand of the ungodly, we have joined an unequal yoke. We have violated separation. See, you heard this earlier today, Brother Andrew. About the way the pendulum swings, that's another way of expressing what he said. So there is legalism. And here are the boundaries. For biblical reasons and practical reasons, I think the legal code has become impossible. And I don't think it's biblical. Because you can do what you want at home in the privacy of your own monitor. In the store, in the purchase of your own magazines. In your life in general, we are a liberated people. And our brother noted for us and his burden in saying that is my burden in having this message before me. The pendulum has gone all the way across to the other side. And I'm speaking to young people today as tenderly and as forcefully and as burdened as I can. You have forgotten that separation is a biblical truth. And it is absolutely essential to grasp this. When it comes to this matter of fellowship, I cannot go along with the world and know this personal blessing of a father to his children No, I didn't say that the Lord kicks us and says, you're not my child anymore. I cannot enjoy it. Might as well give you the whole thing, what's on my mind. You cannot enjoy eternal life apart from separation. You will not. You cannot know God and dabble in principles that are opposed to God. You cannot live your life for God unless separation is a principle at work in vital power in your life. There can be no communication between light and darkness. You cannot listen to what is evil and still remain in the light. Which would tell me that if you want to listen to the singers whose songs are about illicit love, quote unquote, you cannot tell me that it will not affect your principles. And in fact, I give you the Bible, which will disagree with you. Evil communications corrupt good manners. It can't be done. You can't listen to the counsel of the ungodly and come back unscathed and hold the wondrous truths of light that God has committed not only to us personally, but to the assembly. Are you with me on my connection between personal and assembly? Young people, what we are engaged in is precious to God. You cannot have the communication of light between light and darkness. When it comes to concord, don't think I just got stuck on a syllable of the word. That has to do with music. I'm not just only aiming for music, so hang on. You can't have this sound and this sound operating together. I love to hear good harmony. That's great. I mean, singing, if everybody sang like the melody. Oh, melody. If everybody sang the melody, that would be fine. Sorry. Sometimes I get distracted. But, you know, just put a little harmony in there and somehow just it lifts the whole thing. You can't sing parts with the world. You can't bring divine things. You can't bring Christ into parts, into harmony, the music. I'm not focusing on the music just now. I'm illustrating with the music because I think that's behind it. And when, where I am, speaks so loud they don't know who I am, I've gone on the other side. I wasn't speaking Greek. The places you go are a very loud message, a great note of music that does not go along with Christ. Do you understand what I'm saying? Like, I don't understand how Christians go to movie theaters. Sorry, I just don't understand it. That's a very strong note. It's pretty hard to harmonize that with, and I'm so happy I belong to the Lord Jesus. Somehow the music doesn't mix. I can't go down a long list. Like, I'm just raising issues. No part. Going out Friday night with an unbeliever? And stepping in Sunday morning and saying, I'm part of the believers? No part. No part. Boys, if God has in view for you a young lady, no part with unbelievers. If God has in mind for you marrying in the Lord, then let
what takes a believer into associations that deny the public testimony of an assembly? No part. Separation between Christians and Christians, you say? Separation between those who are willing to obey the Word of God. Don't be too proud about saying that about yourself. But that is what an assembly is about. That is what one who is in the assembly is about. That is what every Christian ought to be about. Please don't stay outside the assembly because you think, I want to sow my wild oats. I don't want to have the constraints of the assembly. Did you forget you have the same constraints in Christian living as you do in the assembly? I didn't say it too clearly, though, did I? No part. Young man. With a young lady who is not willing to bow to the Word of God and who does not know the Lord Jesus or does not know the Lord Jesus as Savior. That's for the fellows. Girls, young or old, no part. Oh, it's just so easy. No part. I better move on. I'll come to that in a moment. And no company between the temple of God and idols. Now, that's pretty simple. I mean, the idols. But when you read what the Lord says in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, what you're looking at is this. Come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean. And as simply as I can tell you, you can find what's unclean among us today. God preserve us and deliver us that we might be made more like Christ, changed. But there are principles that do not come from the Word of God that are being practiced in congregations, and they may be evangelical congregations. Or they may be congregations that deny everything about the person of Christ and still call themselves Christians. Public association with them is a denial of the truth that is proclaimed in the temple of God. I have spent lots of time reading books, listening to recorded messages of men who are godly men, gifted men, will have a reward at the judgment seat of Christ that I won't have. But they have associated themselves with principles that deny the Lordship of Christ. I will, by the grace of God, not go to hear them where they are. If I can derive benefit from them, I will get it through their books. I will get it through their recorded words. But there is absolutely no companionship between principles that oppose the Lordship of Christ and principles that are designed by God to uphold His Lordship and honor. Let me come to my last two, which I will have to deal with very quickly. I alluded to this, so let me come to this quickly, because you can see this in living letters in Samson's life. Separation is lost by inches. So now that I have been really aiming at the young people and I have got a whole generation of those in the middle years, cheering me on, I want to talk to you. Because I'm afraid that some reason for our concerns about the young people is because we have lost it by inches. It's kind of a negative message to come to at the close of the meeting. Maybe there might be some light in the end of the tunnel here. I don't know. But I can almost picture this. This will be simple enough for you to see. You and I are in the corner where Delilah and Samson are. Okay? And Samson, he just gives you a little wink. Listen to this. And he gives them first direction. Oh, you just... No problem. And then... The next one. That one didn't work. Got this one. Wait to see what I can do this time. Hey, you can picture this, can't you?
I don't know whether Samson winked or not. But anyway, and then he says, well, you know, if you just kind of put the beam through my hair.
Samson, you're getting closer. Samson, you're treading on thin ice. Samson, you can go this close and this close and this close.
But you now do not have power to stop it.
I'm not talking about a legal separation. I hope I've been clear on that. I am talking about a separation based on the principles of the Word of God. And I can kind of just shave off this much. You know, I've been saved for quite a while. I wouldn't have done it when I was a boy, but you know, I really have learned a lot more now. I am not preaching into the air. Separation is lost by inches. Until day after day after day, she vexes him. All right. Look. The reason that I have strength is because I'm separated to the Lord. I'm a Nazarite. But if you take away my separation, the symbol of my separation, if you take away my separation, I will be no different from anyone else. Ever wonder why we don't have power? Ever wonder why I, when I preach the gospel, don't have power in the preaching of it? Any concern that while God is blessing in Mexico, He seems to be too busy? No, no, can't be that, to be working here? I shall be as other men. And I see him wake up from his sleep and shake himself as at other times. And he gets up to preach the gospel. Oh, that's not it. He gets up just as if he were still the Samson he always was. And he goes to meeting and he prays. And he reads from the New Testament and gives a wonderful exposition to the people of God. Sorry, I'm getting a little close on this. And he prays. And he wist not that he didn't have God with him because he wasn't separated to God. Separation is lost by inches. My last is three words. Separation honors God. Why was Samson to be a Nazarite? Why was the nation of Israel to be wonderful to God? Why was the Corinthian assembly to be a temple of the Holy Spirit? You cannot demonstrate the character of God apart from separation. Do you have any interest today in being like Christ? Would you like to have more of godliness? Young Christian, there is nothing to be desired in this world so much as to be like Christ. There is no higher priority than to be able to display in a dark, confused world the character of God. You cannot do that apart from separation. Do you have any interest in serving God? Would you like your life to count for God? Oh, Samson, what you could do for God with strength from God to deliver Israel. Look at him. All the strength he has got is all devoted to one thing. I don't know whether they put him in like an ox going around and grinding the corn. There we go. He's nothing more than an animal to serve the ungodly. Reminds me of people in the corporate structure who have lost their touch with heaven, have lost their separation unto the Lord, And all their strength is going into making corn for the Philistines.
Would you like to have a little strength to be used in the hand of God? To see souls saved, to see assemblies planted, to see God's people flourishing. Would you like to have just a little touch of heaven to bring in to be a help to God's people? Separation honors God. And I close on this note. Knowing God, reflecting God, serving God, the greatest of all privileges, occupations of a child of God is this: to be a worshiper of God. How can I worship a God I don't know? How can I effectively serve a God whom I do not know? Will you understand simply and clearly that what I am going to do eternally in praising and worshiping God and the Lamb, I am privileged to do so now. And a nation would not bring offerings to God who was not separate to God. You know what that means? When the enemies came in, when they took them captive into their nations, what was designed to be for God and Israel never was offered to God because they lost their separation. And what God should have received from the assembly at Corinth in worship, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper. They lost their separation from Corinth. Separation has a bad name. Because we have made a mistake. Separation honors God. And with all my heart and being, by the grace of God, I want to present to younger believers and to all of us this urgent call from heaven to separation so that God will have all of His people, so that God will have all of our affection, so that God will have the worship that He deserves.